All right, this morning we have a 9:30 docket and a 10:30 docket. First, we'll hear the 9:30 docket, Burton v. State, 2-16067CR. And we've received a phone call from appellant's counsel that he will not be here, but Mr. David Richards is here and will argue for appellee.
May it please the court. Well, normally I would waive argument too, particularly since it's not very sporting of one side to argue when the other side is the attorney is ill. But I did request argument in this case, and I don't normally do that. And the only thing that I'll do in the absence of Mr. Johnson is to point out what I pointed out in a phone call and an email to his office yesterday, and that is that I would be citing an additional case which wasn't cited in my brief. And I'll send in a letter brief
to this effect.
Smith versus State. It's a case that was cited 8 weeks ago, almost to the day, out of Austin. I don't know if you want the site now or just wait. Okay, the site now. 216 Westlaw 2628057. And this is kind of a confusing area of the law on this unanimity, when it's required and instruction is required and when it isn't. It wasn't requested in this case by defense counsel. There was no objection to the state's jury argument in this case. So the state thinks at most it is harmless error. However, there is a case that was decided by a different panel, and it was not handled by me, but it was handled by another attorney in the appellate division. The brief was filed 2 years ago.
Is that the Barrow case?
The Barrow case. And
if we agree with your position in this, do we have to? Is there any way around Barrow?
Barrow is an unpublished decision, so as far as going around the rationale,
in other words,
can it
be distinguished? I don't see how it can be distinguished if we agree with your position. It's basically contrary.
It is contrary.
Kind of right on point.
Exactly, except I don't know.
Except it had the concession of the state.
Yeah, and the state actually, I went back and looked at the brief, we not only confessed error, we confessed reversible error, and we were saved by the court who did a harmless error analysis and came out in favor. And at most, I think that this would be harmless error, but you know, when it's an unpublished case, I'm not sure how squarely you'd have to
how devoted we have to be to that
right,
case.
Right. And, you know, I think also in light of the fact that there are subsequent decisions in this case, if you look at the Smith decision, it's right on point with what I am arguing, not so much on the facts, but the fact of the case is what the state alleged here were not different offenses or the same offense committed at different points of time, or any of the other cases which the Court of Criminal Appeals has said unanimity is required. We had one count, two paragraphs alleging different manner and means. And what Smith says is if you're only alleging different manner and means of committing the same offense, unanimity is not required. So that's the state's position, and that is not something that the state argued in Barrow v. State, and it's not something, therefore, that the court considered. I think if the court would have considered that argument, perhaps they would have reached a different result. As far as any other aspects of the argument, I wouldn't feel comfortable absent Mr. Johnson being here to make the argument, because I'm sure he would not agree with me on any of those other lines of analysis. And as far as the jury argument issue, the sufficiency issue goes, I was about to say that those just turn into jury arguments in the Court of Appeals, so I'll waive my jury argument there and ask that the evidence be and testimony be viewed in a light most favorable to the verdict, and we believe that it will withstand challenge on appeal. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Richards. We appreciate your arguments today and, of course, your briefing as well. The matter is submitted, and you are excused, and we will recess court until 10:30 when we'll pick up that docket. Thank you.
All rise.